The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. It is page 319 in the New Testament. It is Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. Allow me to read the words. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Amen. May is the month for the family, and today is Parents' Day. And so we will talk about children's role and duties to parents. Regardless of time and geography, the common feelings, emotions that humanity has for parents, particularly mother, is deep wringing of the heart. And so even just calling out the word mother is often enough to bring tears to one's eyes. There is a song called Song for My Mother, which was sung about 20 years ago by a singer named Tejina. The lyric goes like this. Until the sunset came to the hills, mother worked a field, lived with earth, her friend, the whole. She wore a patched hemp shirt soaked in sweat and went to heaven following the cries of Scops Owl. I spent the night longing for her, binding cotton skirt around her under the early morning dew. Mother endured harsh poverty all her life. Mother lived like a crane, a creature from heaven, praying night and day for her child. What can I offer you now except for tears? The lyrics are very sad. This kind of intense feeling about mother is not only found in traditional songs. Now, among the songs that were sung around the time of this song, there is a song titled To Mother, which was remade by a top idol group, G.O.D., as a rap song. The lyrics go like this. Mother, I want to see you. We were poor ever since I was little. We never ate out like all other people do. When you went to work and you were not at home, I always made ramyeon to eat by myself. Then I was sick of it and got mad. Let's eat something good for a change, I demanded. So you ordered a jjajangmyeon with spare money that you hid away for emergencies. I was happy, but you did not eat it for some reason. Mother said she did not like it. I was at junior high eating lunch brought from home. We gathered and opened our lunch. A son of a wealthy man got angry. Such pathetic stuff you brought. Tears came. I was embarrassed. Then he teased me for crying. My fist went flying to his face. I couldn't bear it. So the mother was called, dragged to school again. She begged and said it wouldn't happen ever again. She bowed her head before the other kid's mother. My mother begged. We did it finally without my father. We came to own a small restaurant finally. It wasn't big, but we were happy. Tears came to my mother's wrinkled eyes. We named the restaurant, taking the first two words of her name and mine. We celebrated. No one left even though night was deepening. People kept congratulating and only went back after midnight. Perhaps she was tired. She went to sleep deeply and never woke again. I loved you, although I never said it. I love you. Now rest in peace forever in a world where I'm not there. The child in the two songs suffers heartaches. and regrets that he did not know his mother was carrying such a heavy burden of life. He thought that it was only natural that his mother would work like a machine from morning to night, to wear clothes made of hemp and a skirt made of cotton. And he did not know why his mother said she did not like jjajangmyeon that she ordered with spare money for emergencies. And so he can only offer tears now, and no words to say except to tell her to rest in peace at a place where he, who caused such trouble, is not there. How could a child know the burden of life that his or her mother carries and understand the depth of her heart? This is the same not only for mothers, but also for fathers. There is a play called Death of a Salesman written by Arthur Miller, one of the best playwrights who represent the 20th century America. The background of this play is the United States during the Great Depression of 1930s. The protagonist of the play, Willie Loman, is a 63-year-old man who lived as a salesman for 36 years. He has a wife, Linda, and two sons, Biff and Happy. Willie has a good relationship with other people, and has a dream that if he works hard, to his best, one day he will succeed as a salesman, and he will be able to start his business. He also has his own house, although he has a mortgage to pay. From the outside, he appears to have all of the conditions for a happy life. However, in reality, Willie's family is eroding. His older son, Biff, was a good football player, but right before his graduation from high school, he flunked a math test and could not get into a college of his choice. His life starts to go downhill from there. He left home using the excuse that his relationship with his father soured and stayed away for 6 to 7 years. He worked at 20 to 30 different odd jobs and wandered from place to place, but ended up coming home recently. His second son doesn't have a job and is only interested in chasing girls. Willie talks about his good times in the past, but actually, there were no glorious moments in his life. He was just ordinary and had worked for a long time. Recently, he had driven as much as 700 miles to make a sale, but he could not sell a single thing and had to come back empty-handed. But he had mortgage to pay, and he had to pay installment payments on the car, the refrigerator, washing machine, and vacuum cleaner. The car and the refrigerator broke down even before their installment payments were over, so he had to pay for their repairs. One of the things that Willie couldn't stand was watching his wife wear mended stockings. When Willie could not receive money from sales anymore, he borrowed $50 from his friend Charlie to give to his wife every week. He bragged to her that the money was from sales, but Linda knew that the money was borrowed. But she accepted the money not to hurt his pride. Willie found out that if he dies, $20,000 of insurance payments would be made, and so he attempted several suicides, but failed. At the end, Willie is fired from his job, and he kills himself by driving himself to death in his car in order to leave behind the insurance money for his family. But the insurance money that his family received was just enough to make the last mortgage payment on the house. Willie used to say that a lot of people will come to his funeral. But at his funeral, only his wife, his two sons, his friend Charlie, and Bernard, a friend of his older son, attended. The first act of this play begins by Willie coming home in the evening with two heavy suitcases filled with samples. And his house is surrounded by high-rise buildings. Coming back from his sales trip, his shoulders are sagging, and he's as tired as he can be. But the playwright never reveals what he sells, what samples are in his suitcases, although Willie is a salesman. Perhaps ultimately what Willie was selling was himself. This salesman is a portrayal of fathers of modern days. They sell their lives in their jobs. Some fathers bring home quite a bit of money selling their lives, but most fathers bring home far less money than they want. And they blame themselves. And they yell at their families and become angry because he feels sorry for them. Actually, they're doing this to themselves. Willie's two sons turned their backs on their father, who was not successful. But their mother, Linda, however, says the following, "I'm not saying your father is a great man. William Lohman never made a huge amount of money or was in the papers. He's not somebody who has great character in the world. However, he's also a human being, so we must treat him preciously. We can't let him die away from home like an old dog." Most fathers, like William Lohman, do not earn a lot of money or get featured in newspaper. Sometimes, or often, they dream of doing whatever they want to do and living as they want to live. But in reality, every day, they bow and lower their heads and rub their hands together and live diligently each day at work for the sake of their families, although their pride may be wounded. Apostle Paul, in sending the letter to the Church of Philippi, sent his greetings, his prayers, and spoke of his hope that although he may be between life and death, he only wishes that Christ would be exalted in his body. And very daringly, he challenges us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He does so because to Christians, there is no better life than a life which gives due weight to the gospel, which treats gospel as being precious, which is lived in a manner befitting of the gospel. The later part of verse 27 gives the first concrete example of what it is to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. "Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel." The emphasis of this verse is not in its first part, but in its later part. It was not important at all to Apostle Paul whether he would meet the people of Philippi church or he's not able to meet them because they are apart. What was more important was that they stand together with one heart and striving together for the faith of the gospel. If we were to apply this If we were to apply this verse to our church, what is more important than Reverend Ijetai being elsewhere because of the sabbatical or he returning to preach again is that the members of our church strive together for the faith of the gospel in one spirit. I have mentioned before that to strive together means to compete together or fight together. In ancient times, to go to battle, soldiers formed long lines shoulder to shoulder and went forward line by line. In our families, our parents are those who went forward first, shoulder to shoulder, in order to give us life. It was because they went before us to fight the battle of making a living for us in our societies, in our society, that we are able to become who we are now. The Lord says that it is now time for us to put our shoulders next to them to go forward. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, another letter written by Apostle Paul in Roman prison reveals the following regarding the proper role of children towards their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. The children's duties to their parents are to obey and to honor. The literal meaning of obey is to listen from beneath. Listening from beneath does not only mean a physical posture. What is more important is the attitude of the mind. In order to obey one's parents, it is necessary to lower one's thoughts. And parents, of course, must treat their children not from their own thoughts or consideration of what are convenient for them, but the Lord's word should be the standard by which they treat their children. And the literal meaning of the word honor is weighty and treat preciously. It is possible for parents to have less than children, to have lesser education than them, and be physically weaker. But to honor one's parents means to treat their past as being weighty and precious. A good example of honoring one's parents is David. David confessed in Psalm 27, verse 10, that though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. In the Bible, Jesse never said to David that, you are no longer my son, so delete yourself from our family registry and get out of this house. So what experience would have made David harbor such thought? God, having chosen a successor to Saul to become king, sent Prophet Samuel to Jesse's house in order to pour oil on the successor. And so Jesse showed his sons to Samuel. Samuel looked at the eldest and thought that he was the chosen one of God. But God said, people look at the outside of a man, but I look at his heart. And so seven of them all went by, but there was no one that God had chosen. Samuel asked Jesse, have all your sons come? And Jesse answered, the youngest is remaining, but he is keeping sheep. In other words, Jesse, the father, had thought that if God were to make one of his sons king, the least likely one was his youngest, David. David was the youngest who should have been loved the most, but this was not so in reality. Further, when a war broke out with the Philistines led by Goliath, David went to deliver significant provisions for his three sons who were at the battleground at the request of his father. It's hard for us to understand why Jesse sent the youngest, sent his youngest and not the fourth or the fifth son. Further, Jesse said to David, "See if your brothers are well and bring evidence of their well-being." He says to his youngest that he should risk his life in order to find out the well-beings of his older sons. So David goes, and Israel is in the midst of a battle with Philistines. He finally meets his oldest brother, Eliab, who gets angry at him by saying, "What for? Why did you come here for? For what? An arrogant and stubborn boy, don't you think that I know you came just to watch the battle?" Instead of asking, "How did you manage to come here?" or "Thank you for coming." Now, King Saul was David's king as well as his father-in-law, but he still wanted to kill David and went looking for him with specially chosen 3,000 men. But despite the situation, David did his all, as David did all of his duties as a child. David had two chances to kill Saul. His men told him that it was a chance given to him by God. But David left the matter of King Saul's life to God. This was his proper manner towards his king, as well as his duty as a son-in-law to his father-in-law. Furthermore, as he was being chased from place to place without anywhere to go, he escaped the cave of Adullam. There, about 400 people who were in a similar situation as David gathered around him. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 3 to 4 testifies to what he did then. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. It was not easy for David to take care of himself, and there were 400 people that he had to look after. At this time, he is asking the king of Moab whether his parents could stay with him until he gets settled again. He is young, so that even if Saul is after him, he could run. However, his aging parents could not do that. The reason that David was able to ask King Moab to have his parents stay with him is that his great-grandmother Ruth was a Moabite. Even when David had hurts from occasions, when he felt as if he were being abandoned by his parents, he did not forget to honor his parents. This was because the word of God, "Honor your parents," was etched in his heart. The fifth commandment from the Ten Commandments is honor thy parents. The reason that this commandment feels much more burdensome and is scary is because although we may be able to keep the other nine commandments, there are times that we are not able to keep the fifth commandment although we are alive. It is possible for us to wander around in terms of faith, come back to God, and live in obedience of His commandments. But the fifth commandment does not wait for us. Of course, it is possible to honor other elderly, treating them as if they were our parents, but they are not the pathways by which God caused us to be here on this earth. Therefore, we must do our utmost to keep the fifth commandment while our parents are living. A long time ago, a life insurance company put out an advertisement in television around the theme of mothers and fathers. The part about the father goes like this. At 29, you were able to hear your child cry after 14 hours. You did not believe in a God, but you prayed without knowing. At 37, your child got a scholastic achievement award. You framed it and hung it in the most visible place. The yellowed award still hangs in your room. At 43, Sunday morning, you walked up the hill with your child to a spring for the first time in a long while. Neighbors greeted you by saying your child looked like you. This made you happy without a reason. At 48, your child went to take the college entrance test. You went to work as usual, but could not work the whole day. At 53, your son got his first pay and bought underclothes for you. You scolded him for wasting money, but you kept putting on those clothes over and over again late into the night. At 61, it's the day of your daughter's wedding. Your daughter smiles brightly, looking up at her husband, looking like a bandit. Your eyes become red for the first time since you came of age. You, who lived his whole life with a single hope that children will do well, but now you're left only with graying hair. We call you father. The content about the mother is as follows. At 21, you married the older son of Kim family and came to live with him, not knowing his face, and traveling over two hills. At 26, you gave birth to a child after 5 years of marriage. You were finally treated as a daughter-in-law by the older people of your husband's family. At 32, the child became sick with sudden indigestion. You ran 20 li at night to the village clinic with the child on your back. At 40, winter that year was particularly cold. Around the time your child would return from school, you put on your child's coat to wait for him at the entrance of the village and put on the coat warmed with your body on your child when he returned. At 52, your child brought home a girl to marry. You didn't approve of the made up face, but said you liked her because he liked her. At 60, the child sends money because it is your 60th birthday. With the money, you make restorative herbal medicine for your child. At 65, the child and his wife say that they can't come home during the holidays because they're busy. You say to the neighbors that your son went back early morning to the city because he's busy and lied for the first time in your life. You, who lived her whole life with a single hope that the child will do well, but now you're left only with a face with deep wrinkles. We call you mother. Our mothers, in order to raise us, took hold of the handles of their hose and kept their place as mothers. And in order to provide us with the jajangmyeon that we needed from time to time in our life, they gave up their most precious possessions. And most of all, in order to raise us in the right way, they took long and deep breath and prayed on their knees with tears before God. And our fathers also, in order to raise us, had to work with briefcases filled with their lives. Inside of that briefcase, there were tears, heartbreaks, hurts, and loneliness, but they dare not express them. There are many songs about mothers, but there are only few about fathers. In our hymnals, there are four of them about parents, and three of them are about mothers. The other one, actually, if we look at the content, is mostly about a mother. But fathers say, "Don't worry about me, be nice to your mother." That's who father is. The best way to honor our parents is to become good parents ourselves. We are all either now a parent or will become one in the future, in order to provide good background for our kids and teach them in the right way, we must first end upright. A teaching which is not accompanied by a right life will only be an empty echo. We know very well ourselves how weak we are. Therefore, for us to be good parents, we can only trust ourselves to the Lord who puts His shoulder next to ours. When we honor our parents and become good parents ourselves, then there is no other better way to live in a manner which is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for giving us the hour to think about our parents through today's words. When we think about the love we received from our parents, how we serve them and how we act towards our children seem so little and it shames us. Our parents were over 70 years of age, were born during the colonial occupation under Japan, and went through the Korean War. And many of them could not receive a lot of learning and were not able to eat properly because of harsh poverty. They did not eat well, wear good clothes, and did not learn much, but they did a better job at raising their children than anyone else. And parents were in their 50s and 60s, laid down the foundation for the industrialization of this country, the most poor country in the world, at a time when hairs were cut and sold for money after the Korean War. They also had to pay a heavy price for the democratization of this nation. And most of all, because of our parents loved God from the center of their hearts and served Him, they were able to serve as the pathway to the revival of Korean church, and as a result of this, we are now enjoying the abundance of faith. May the rest of their lives on this earth go well, and may we live more rightly, honestly, and faithfully, so that our lives will prove their lives have not been a waste. If there are parents among parents who are still weak in faith or who are not yet believers, may they personally meet Jesus Christ, even if at their last moment. And we pray for your guidance so that they will enjoy fellowship with the Lord until the time that they breathe their last on this earth. And God, we pray that faith will become renewed all the more during the time of our children. And may the tears of faith that our parents have sown be inherited by us and by our children. May our children become the workers who harvest the truth and faith, which awaken the faith of our people and of the world. Allow us to sow the seeds. Allow us to sow the seeds of eternal life in our families and plant the trees of truth. Help us to remember that if we really want our children to become people of faith, we must first lead such lives in order for our children to follow. And thereby, may our families dwell in your grace forever. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.